Hi, I'm David, and welcome to the DataSource Rex podcast, where we're going to do things a little bit differently today and talk to some of the Tableau community leaders from around the world on their thoughts and experiences of attending the Tableau 2019 conference. With us right now, we have Sarah Bartlett, a Tableau ambassador, Kevin Fledge, a Tableau Zen master, and Joshua Smith, another Tableau ambassador. Cool. Thanks for coming, guys. It's really appreciated.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure thing.
Excellent. And yeah, it was great to meet you all at the Tableau conference in person. I think I warned you all how tall I was before we met, so hopefully that wasn't a big surprise. Tableau conference 2019 in Vegas. I thought it was like a really awesome experience on the whole. There was so much like I got from it, and that's what I'm hoping to discuss with you guys here and get your thoughts and takes on the conference too. So I guess to kick off, should we start off like potentially your top takeaway from Tableau conference?
My top takeaway? I think this conference, I focus more on conversations. There seemed to be a massive focus on the community this year compared to other years. So my top takeaway would be just, you know, foster those conversations. And the conference gave me a fantastic opportunity to meet with so many people that otherwise I wouldn't have been able to. So I think that my takeaway would be focus more on those conversations rather than sessions, which you can always watch back later on YouTube.
Yeah, I would second that. You know, I think there's probably a lot of people who didn't go who would question, like, why would I go, right? Why would you go at all? Because all the sessions are posted the day after and it's all available. So from a learning standpoint, you can kind of get all that for free. But I think Sarah, you hit on the key point, right? It's those connections, that networking, those opportunities to, you know, to talk to people in your industry or not in your industry and learn what they're doing and then just make these sort of lifelong connections. I mean, through the conference and, you know, through working with the community, I have all these great people that I can reach out to when I have a question about something I don't know how to do, you know. Server is a great example. I mean, this year I've met Jonathan McDonald from the Information Lab, and now he's another person I can reach out to when I have a server question that I can't address. So I think that's the key thing. And then, you know, the other thing I noticed was just watching the Dreamforce presentations that were done by the Tableau people, how much of a focus community was in those conversations, which was good, you know, because I think everyone, we all and the Tableau people really acknowledge that the criticality of and the importance of the community to making this a better product in the long term.
I'm going to ride on that comment as well. The community was such a strong aspect. This is only my second conference, so I can't talk about massive year-over-year growth, but even from last year, the growth of the community stood out to me a lot. Not just in volume, but I'd also say in quality, the depth of relationships there. The hashtag data fam is just something I've never seen in a professional community before. I also was really interested in the emphasis on design this year. Last year, it felt like there were a couple of interesting sessions on it, but it wasn't so much of a focal point. And when I was trying to accumulate the list of sessions I think people back here at my company should watch, I searched design and just session after session came up on that user experience focus, graphic design, a lot less technology relative to design was an interesting movement for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, totally. I can definitely echo those 2 points to community. That's one of the main reasons I fly away from Singapore to go, like meeting, I think, is it 18,000 people this time at the conference? Like 18,000 people all like with similar passion, like knowledge. And like, you just kind of feel like you're amongst equals and you just share that knowledge, network, meet new people, help people learn, get inspired. And it's just so cool. I came back and I was super infused. Yeah.
I think also it seemed this year that everybody wanted a piece of the action. So like the devs were getting involved with the community and, you know, brain dates, and even the executives were getting in on like the brain dates. So it was just really great that everyone was really on board and part of those conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. They weren't like, I guess I've been to conferences, not Tableau ones, but other conferences where they talk at you. But this felt, yeah, much more of a, like, we're all in this together kind of thing. Like, Mm-hmm. Which that's a good observation. And I think, Josh, to your point with design, yeah, that was a marked shift. I mean, two standout things for me in that aspect were, one, going to Mike and Layla's talk about design. I'll put a link to the talk on YouTube there, which was at the Tableau conference, but they just did a great session on like how to build good dashboards, like from a design perspective. Because I think, yeah, as Tableau and the community evolve and grow, the technical capabilities, it's probably far easier to get to those levels where we're all even. But having that kind of more critical design lens or approach is now the next step. So, yeah, I'm really glad to see that's reflected in the content.
And that's harder to teach too, right? I mean, you know, that's something Kevin and I talk about a lot. Like, you know, we can teach the technical bits and bytes pretty easily, right? You just take these steps, but teaching that design, there's like a feel, like there's this sort of natural thing that you almost have to have. And so I think it was great to see those sessions. Another one I'll mention is Chantilly's session, which just really broke down, you know, how to design just like good dashboards. And it didn't go crazy with, anything wild, but it was just like proper use of color and proper layout and, you know, how to use images in the right way and make sure that if you have multiple images that they have, you know, icons or something like that, that they have, that they're sort of the same style, just like those sort of basic things that you often see people don't do a great job of, you know? So that was a really good session as well that I would recommend people checking out.
Nice one. Yeah. I was gutted I missed that one, but I'll put the link below too. And yeah, I definitely want to check that out. Thanks for recommending. And I think just on the final bit on the design piece was, did you guys all have the chance to go to the Tableau Public Gallery? So for those of you who didn't attend or didn't see it, Tableau printed up like A1, A0 size Tableau Public dashboards, which I think a lot of them were Tableau Biz of a Day and stuff like that. But it was amazing. It's like in a kind of gallery setting with like the lighting and like the little name card. And it was really awesome to see like people like go up, stare at it, like look at it like proper art, which they were, because they're really engaging and thought provoking and beautiful to look at.
I was going to say, it's been good to see that grow over the years. So they started that in Europe last year as like a trial in the hallway. It was about 10 visits. And then they did it again in New Orleans. It was still quite small. But this year they went all out, and I think there's like double the number they had, if not more, than they had. And they had the lights this year, which they didn't have last year. And it just felt like an actual like art gallery.
And the longer ones, like Josh's Iron Viz feeder had sort of the two, you know, the top and then the bottom and separate frames. And there was a one by Alex, I'm going to say his name, Varmalov, that had, I don't know if it's two or three different frames horizontally to show his. That was that was really cool as well. And these are at Dreamforce as well. They took and set them up at Dreamforce as well, which was really cool.
They put them in really cool frames as well, like behind the glass. So
it's cool to then take that stuff that we all know so well and introduce it to this whole new audience that hasn't seen it before, right?
Yeah, that's so awesome.
Totally. And yeah, it goes beyond the functions. Like the functions and the software is great, but now showcasing what people can do with it, like anyone can do with it, is like really inspiring too. It's so cool. So are there any other key takeaways? I feel we've covered a few, although I would be remiss if I didn't mention Devs on Stage. What did you guys think of that? It's for me, it's always a highlight, just the passion and the energy the devs bring, but also, you know, way more times than not, the features they release are actually what we want or are very helpful in our day-to-day lives.
I'm always interested in the conversation that evolves from Devs on Stage, because some things like dynamic parameters, just everyone's heart, just it was like a breath of relief. Right? We all have been wanting that for so long. But then you have things like the animations, as they called it. And there's these conversations spinning out around, is animations the right word? Kind of pushing back on Tableau on that. And I know, Sarah, you posted some thoughts from other experts on maybe this should be called animations and maybe there's different breakdowns. But also I heard some early conversations after devs on stage about like, well, animations is cool, but is it really going to help analysis? And since that, watching social media, I've seen people posting ideas of like, look how much clearer this picture becomes because we can animate it. So it's taking those brilliant ideas that devs on stage share with us and then really taking time to sit on those and then watching the world of possibilities explode after the fact. That's just really fun to watch.
Yeah, I would agree. So I think sometimes they underestimate some of these features or what, or the possibilities. So a classic example would be set actions. And then when Lindsay Poulter just went crazy last year with her set action posts and blew the devs away. I was actually speaking to Mark from Tableau while I was over there, and he mentioned they're actually going to include more community-driven posts when they release new features going forward. So they actually rely on the community to actually show, look, oh, here's this new feature, and this is what you can do with it. Because we can do it much better than them, I think. And they've come to realize that. So,
and it's those conversations that Josh mentioned that sort of drive the future of those new features as well. Like, I mean, we're having these conversations and debates, and then we're trying it and doing all these new and interesting things. And that creates this nice little feedback loop to Tableau where they can kind of make that feature better moving forward.
Yeah, totally. And I think the conversation piece is interesting because I think straight after the keynote of going to another session, I think I was just chatting to some people I hadn't met before, and yeah, which is great. I highly encourage anyone who goes to Tableau conference, just speak to new people. But I think there was like this debate going on. Like some people were like, oh, animations are just a bit gimmicky. They're going to get in the way of analysis. But then other people were like, no, they're going to really help facilitate you guiding your audience through to insights to make it more easy to understand if you're zooming in or ranks change. But again, it was just great to hear these organic debates. It wasn't just, here's this feature, use it like this. It kind of, yeah, everyone was talking about it. And like, yeah, those possibilities or those discussions were occurring. And it was really fascinating to see and be a part of. Yeah.
I also just like seeing the actual developers up on stage, right? I mean, you know, that they're people that are writing the code or managing the groups that are writing the code or whatever, right? And then they, you know, get up on stage and something that they feel passionately about and they're sharing, you know, what they poured all this work into. And how cool is it that to see that one of the developers from, was it last year Keisha was devs on stage or the year before? I don't remember.
She did
And then she's just like a superstar, just so natural on the Iron Viz Iron Viz stage. You know, it's like, how cool is that to see that?
She was amazing.
She was
just flawless. Then at the end when you know we had the delays, they just like completely like styled it out. Like it was great. But yeah, I agree. So the devs, they're always just, their presentations are spot on. And I know a lot of work goes into them in terms of rehearsals, but their demos are always like perfect. They're just fantastic.
Yeah. And you can really tell their like genuine, sincere passion and like enthusiasm for what they're building. They're not just like, yeah, here's this thing I did. They're like really beaming and so proud. And it's, again, rare, but really inspiring to see. Yeah. And I think
what I really like. Sorry. I was going to say, what I really like is how they bring a little bit of their personality onto stage as well. So like there was a lady this year that presented the server stuff and she was talking about Pokemon and then everything's themed around Pokemon. So it makes a very potentially dull subject quite fun.
Yeah. When she was doing that whole narrative between one of the Pokemon, was it Psyduck? I can't remember which one. Was it Slowpoke? I can't remember. Yeah, it's really funny.
I'm not so clued up on Pokemon.
Yeah, no, I stopped at the original 151. I dread to think how many there are now. So, but I think because I didn't make it to New Orleans last year, but was the devs? They did like a devs by the poolside thing this year. And for those of you who didn't go, there was this giant ball pit. Which I didn't go into, but it looks amazing. I think there were like 90,000 balls in there. But from what I can remember, they actually made some of the devs available so you could just go up and chat to them around there. So did you guys have a chance to do that? Or?
No.
I did not. No.
That's okay. There's so much to do. It's like, yeah, there's so much to do at those conferences. But I just love the way they made themselves available. They're not just shut it away. They're just part of the whole thing, like the community, like you said. So, yeah.
I think there's always so much to do. And the expo hall was so big this year. That was right at the other end to like the area that, like the community area.
That's right, yeah. I don't even think I got to see the whole expo hall at any point during the...
No.
There's just no opportunity.
No, totally. And I got my steps up that week. it happened again because like I was in a hotel next door to the premises and I realized I hadn't been outside for 4 days. And then when we went to day to night out, I walked through a door and I was like, oh, the aircon's a bit cold. And then looks up and it's actually the sky. And I'm like, oh, I'm outdoors. but that's what I love. Like you're so immersed. There's so much to do. You're so busy. You're walking a lot. You just don't realize. But that's, again, one of the cool things about a conference. There's too much. But again, like you mentioned, Sarah, like you can catch up with a lot of the presentations, but it's more the social stuff, which is the key thing. And even as an introvert, I really pushed myself this year to chat to people. And I'm so glad I did. Yeah.
I think they did a better job centralizing things this year too, especially having brain dates in the expo hall. Because last year, I mean, the venue was like a mile long.
Yeah.
They had brain dates on one side and the expo on the other. And so it was almost impossible if you had a session or you wanted to grab lunch to make it to a brain date in any reasonable time, especially if there was the traffic. So having it there and right next to the community area, I think was a brilliant move by Tableau.
And the AHA Theater right there as well. I mean, having those things kind of centralized, just it was well organized from that standpoint.
Yeah.
The problem is, you know, I think I ended up spending all my time in that back corner, I guess. So maybe there's some advantage of moving things and spreading them out to force us to move around the expo hall a little bit.
Probably true.
Yeah. Talking of the AHA Theater, that was a great addition this year. So that was almost like the Story Points Theaters evolved from last year. So they condensed that down into one. But it was quite like a casual kind of layout. You didn't have the headphones like silent disco style this year. But I mean, I presented in there and it was absolutely fine. Like the music wasn't too loud, the people couldn't hear you. And it was just a nice, like relaxed kind of feel. They had 15-minute talks there throughout the conference from a lot of community members as well. So
that's
good.
Oh, amazing. And this might be a bit of a forced segue, but there was a mention of IronViz. And we will get to you, Josh, about your amazing experience. Because for those of you who didn't see, highly encourage you to watch the contest. But spoiler alert, Josh was a co-winner of this year's 2019 IronViz with Hesham, who, if you want to check out his interview on the podcast, I'll link to that below. But both great people, both well-deserved. And also Lindsay's amazing effort, who was the third contestant. Like, I don't know how the judges chose. It was tough. Mm-hmm. But congratulations on that. It's awesome. But for those of you who haven't seen IronViz or don't know what it is, hopefully I'll do it justice. But it's essentially a very glamorous competition, a bit tongue-in-cheek with the production values. It's mirroring Iron Chef. And three contestants go through, like, I guess, qualifying rounds with making visits to get through to the finals, where they go on stage in front of like 10,000 people and have 20 minutes to make the best viz they can with a data set they've only seen like a week or two before. So it's very exciting. You get to learn a lot, see a lot of new techniques. And just, it's a great event. Like the hosts are always quite funny. Andy, Cotgreave and Keisha, like they got some good banter like we've talked about, but really entertaining, but also really, I learned a lot from seeing it too. Just new features, new functions. So yeah, and it's just so much better to see it in person. I think seeing a recording might not do it justice, but the energy in the room's amazing. What did you guys think of it? Were you in the hall when it happened? Well, I guess you were, Josh. Yeah,
always,
on stage.
Always, yeah.
Yeah.
Sarah was on the front row because she always finds her way to the front row.
Get there early, Ken. I got there so early this year that we saw them doing rehearsals. So I saw all the visits in advance. I was like,
Oh,
wow.
I was first in line in the regular line in the, like the, well, we got to go into the VIP thing, but But we still couldn't get front row seats because somehow a bunch of other people got in there before.
We got there an hour early. Like,
wow, and they just let you in, huh?
Yeah.
I think we saw some Tableau stuff and kind of tagged along.
That's a secret.
That's a trick. Yeah.
So I think the trick is find Sarah and she'll get it. She's got all of it.
Yep. I got front row, I think, at every session this year.
Yeah.
And the front row was tiny. So, yeah.
Oh, it was like a wedge, wasn't it? Yeah. So less seats at the front. So, so Sarah, I guess you getting there that early to always be at the front, like that must mean that you really love it and you see a lot of value in it.
Yeah. So, I think there's a good experience being at the front. I mean, it's a good photo opportunity and, you know, everyone congregates down there. But the downside is that during IronViz, to Taha, it was from Tableau Public, was doing like the revolving reporter kind of role. And she'd pre-planned in some interviews. So there was people that had allocated seats, like behind me was Fee Gordon. And they said, okay, Fee, we're going to come and talk to you about this. And Taha said to me, well, you know, since you're sitting here on the aisle, I may interview you. Probably won't happen, but, you know, just be warned. So I was like, okay. So I was like preparing something to say in my head, like, well, the IronViz is going on. And then it got to the end. She's like, don't worry. There's no time. I'm not going to interview you. And then obviously at the end, there was all this like commotion with the scoring and the counting of the scores. And she came back and she's like, do you know what? I might actually interview you. And she's actually, yeah, let's do it now. So it's like, I had like zero time to prepare anything I was going to say. And literally, next thing you know, I got the cameras on me. So that was quite stressful. So that's the downside of sitting there. And then she started picking on people. So I sat next to Paul Benoob, and then next thing you know, he's pulled up with like 5 seconds notice.
And like Ben Jones had to like jump in too, right? So yeah, it was again.
Yeah,
it was
just Steve Rexler and Ann Jackson, anyone they could find.
I think that's awesome. So Josh, you probably talked about this a lot already, but I'm just high level summary. Like, what was the feeling being up on stage, but then also winning? Just how did that? What did that mean to you?
You know, it's funny we talk about Sarah catching the front row, because the people in the community that I knew in the front row, Sarah being one of them, they were just such a grounding point. When you have so many people in the room and you're supposed to remain at least relatively calm and collected and talk for any period of time, having those faces of people that you recognize and care about and support you, whether you're rooting for or voting for any one of us three up on stage, just knowing that you're not rooting for us to fail, and that you're supportive of all of us and being able to see those faces, that was honestly one of the most impactful moments. It wasn't the volume of people in the room. It wasn't the sound or the smokes or lights or anything like that. It was looking out there and just seeing the smiling faces of people that I care about and know want to see me succeed. That was really, really cool.
Oh, that's lovely. That's awesome. And yeah, I think you hit upon a good note because it's always a really positive vibe. I don't think anyone's there like waiting for someone to mess up and then like going, hey, hey, hey. Like it's like everyone's like really supportive. And like, I think if that ever did happen, you just get like cheers and like support. So it's.
Yeah, I would echo that from my own experience. So when I did IronViz in Europe, again, I had the same like friends on the front row. The last thing you want is a load of execs that, you know, don't really know what IronViz is and couldn't care less. That was, you know, you want that energy. And I think obviously Hesham had an entire section from like the information lab.
Yeah.
But was their chant Hesh, Hesh, Hesh? They were like really going, yeah.
I think that was really lovely.
Yeah, definitely a must see event this year and past ones. But it's cool stuff. And I guess it must have been quite nerve-wracking being up there, Josh, when they were like really deliberating. I heard the score went down to 5 decimal places. So it must have been really tough for them to choose. But I think ultimately, you know, choosing a winner on like 6 decimal places might not have been in the spirit of things. So it's great that you could share that.
Yeah, and want to give even more of a shout out to Lindsay because she was only 1 point down. So
Oh,
this
wow.
entire competition was just close all around the board. And I think as Tableau keeps expanding all of its capabilities and possibilities, we're going to run into more and more examples of that where, you know, people said they looked up at our three dashboards and felt like they were trying to compare apples and oranges. And imagine what that's going to be like 5 years from now with Tableau's incredibly evolved capabilities. Someone makes like a data movie and another person makes like a fully interactive application that could be pulled up on the audience's phone right there in the moment. Like so many possibilities. And as this competition evolves, I don't know how to say it'd be like saying whether your favorite car was, you know, a pickup truck that could haul a lot of materials or a Jeep that can go off-road or a Tesla that's a smart car, right? Like, they're different use cases and all with their own value.
And that I think you hit on something right there, Josh, that, you know, like, I think that's what a lot of us felt out in the crowd, that they were all so different, right? They were all amazing, but all so different. I mean, Lindsay was sort of the business type dashboard with all these really nice little features like the parameter action driven drop down box and I guess it wasn't parameter, a collapsible container drop down box and you with like this really sort of great I try to find the words, like this great story behind it, and with the contrasting sort of black and white dashboards, and Hessian with that, you know, with and also a really good story, but like these sort of, you know, interesting and crazy and yet really powerful charts that he created. So it was amazing how different all three were, and yet they were all really, really, really good. And we're all sitting there thinking, like, how do we pick one of these? You know, because they're all so good.
Mm. No, indeed. I didn't realize it was down to one point. That's really, I mean, a testament to everyone's great work and just, yeah, it's high caliber. Like, yeah, it's, I got to be honest, it might be controversial, but I couldn't actually put a Twitter vote in because they were all so good. Like, I couldn't choose one.
I never do. It just feels wrong.
You know everybody, you know, and you love them all and you want them all to win, you know?
Yeah.
No, you know, totally. That's the reason. It's like, one, yeah, no people, but two, they were just like, I can't, they're all great on their own merits. Like, they're all, yeah. So it was a tough one, but I felt that was, for me at least, that's the thing I could not do or do. Yeah. but yeah, no, it's definitely awesome. So again, if anyone goes to Tableau Conference 2020, that's definitely something I think it's safe to say we all would all recommend you go and do. Yeah. Okay, so I think another thing which was different and new to Tableau, well, just new to Tableau in general, was the Salesforce presence at the Tableau conference. I think just a few days before the conference, they were actually allowed to talk to each other for the first time as companies. Okay. I think there was some kind of UK competition thing they had to go through.
But I think they UK classed them both as data companies, so they saw a potential risk.
Realized they had just that had just ended before the conference.
It was like
explains a lot.
I think it was like 11 days before. It was hardly anything.
Like, yeah. Which is why we call that sort of last minute announcement that they would be at the conference and that kind of thing. Yeah,
and it was great to see them there because, I mean, yeah, with 11 days, they could have been like, you know what, it's too late. But like, they had a whole giant booth in the floor. And then they also had like, you know, announcements in the keynotes and stuff like that. But I think it was good they were there. And it was kind of, on the whole, like a good message, I think, for the community, for like Tableau users. And
I think as we kind of touched on before, I mean, even more than their presence at the Tableau conference is, you know, most of us aren't at Dreamforce, but just sort of watching from the sidelines, at the presence that Tableau seems to have. I mean, as we said before, they have the whole Tableau gallery and they had a big part in, you know, keynotes. And I think there was a section where Ellie Fields was on stage and Neil Myrick from the Tableau Foundation. And so all these people that we know played this sort of integral role at Dreamforce. So it was really cool to see that happening. And then all the focus on that, the community as well.
Yeah. I agree that the whole Dreamforce piece looks fantastic. And considering they had next to no time to prepare that, it's amazing how they pulled it off. And I mean, the keynotes are very different because to what it's not that they could repeat the content from PC because this is content aimed at brand new Tableau users. Like, what is Tableau? What does it do? Kind of level. Not oh, these are all the new features we're bringing in. But yeah, they was like kudos to the Tableau team because they've really done a good job to pull that off well.
And I've seen so our little Twitter. Sorry, I'm talking a lot. But our little Twitter community. I mean, we kind of talk to our Tableau people, but their involvement, like the Tableau involvement in Dreamforce, has kind of opened up this broader audience, and then just people there that are Salesforce people seeing Tableau have gotten them excited. So you know, a story I could share was that Fleetwood Mac played at their big event, and I created for the Data Plus Music campaign in the summer. I created this Fleetwood Mac viz. So they had a screen, a video, like a television screen that had an interactive, it was a touch screen, and they had an interactive in the Tableau area. And there was this Salesforce person who was like, you know, she was a Salesforce user and she was commenting on it. And it was just really, you could tell there was like this excitement level. And she said, how do I learn this? Right. So I said, hey, wow. Reach out to me. I can connect you. So like just that one little experience, I think we're going to see more of that where people get excited about Tableau and start to, you know, reach out to community members and try to, you know, I think we'll see some growth in the community just because of that new relationship.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're all very eager to learn. And I know that the day after the acquisition was announced, there was an investor call that I joined with Mark Benninghoff and Adam Skopinski. Mark just kept going on about Tableau Public and how he'd been on there and he'd seen all these amazing vizzes and he just wants to kind of open up that world to the Salesforce users. So I think there's going to be a big focus there on like upskilling them, not only in like design, but things like data literacy and you know, just how to visualize data well.
Right.
Yeah. When we think about the Salesforce community, you got to hear me out on this one because they have the trailblazers. I'm not going to lie. I don't get it. And I think that's part of the excitement here, right? Of like, I can't think of what is, granted, it's evolved quite a bit, but what in my mind still feels very much like a CRM tool and how there's a community around that. There's nothing in there to me that seems exciting, but I think about the other perspective where they're like, these people are like calculating an average and they call it art. And so I imagine on the other side, there's people that are looking at us and they're like, I don't get it. And so I think we're going to get some really exciting conversations moving along, especially when, you know, at the core of Salesforce and their beliefs, and we heard this from the CEOs of both companies, at the core of it is customer service. And I think that's one spot. We can build gorgeous business, but if we can't share those the right way, if we can't do kickoff parties the right way, if we can't do requirements gathering the right way, essentially all those customer-facing skills, then all this art we're making doesn't mean anything because no one's ever going to want to engage with it. And so I think we have a lot to learn from them. I'm still going to say I don't get it, but I'm really eager. I'm really eager for someone to show me the light in that world and for the opportunity to share that back to them.
Yeah, I'd say there must be something there because all these people are clearly crazy about it. So there's clearly some kind of attraction.
Yeah, 200,000 people go to the conference. I mean, there's got to be something people love about it, right?
And apart from Fleetwood Mac headlining.
But no, I think that's the exciting thing. And I think, like you said, Josh, they're probably looking at us going, how can I get excited about just a data table and like making it look pretty? But I think the core thing here, and not to sound like a broken record, but it's the community, right? Like, Ken, you were just saying like that person asked, how do I do this? Like there's that hunger. And, you know, other communities might be like, well, go figure it out. Like, this is my skill. I'm not going to share this. Whereas that's not even a second thought on Tableau. Like the whole community, if you ask them, they're going to help you. They'll guide you. Like they'll point you to different bits of content or, you know, that kind of stuff. Whereas it's so welcoming. And I know a few people who are like trailblazers too. And there's that similar kind of energy and benevolence, if that's the right word. So I'm super excited to see when these two benevolent open communities potentially come together or cross-pollinate. Like, what are we going to do? It's going to be so exciting.
I think before this even was announced, the Tableau had actually looked at the Salesforce community just to get some inspiration around what they're doing with their community. And they looked at other communities as well, but that was one of them that stood out. And they, you know, there's a lot of similarities between the two. So that, you know, goes in favor of the acquisition and, you know, the coming together of the two companies.
Okay, so yeah, just before we finish, I think we'd be remiss to not talk about Data Night Out, which is like a big part of the Tableau conferences. And this one was no exception. It was definitely a very big, loud night out. But it was really, I kind of enjoyed myself, but equally, there was a point where I felt like I just needed a bit of quiet time. So, but it was good to have a bit of both. But what were your guys' takes on a Data Night Out this year?
So talking to some of the people at Tableau, there was a huge emphasis on wanting to provide a bit more structure to it. I think to really help the introverts out there. So instead of just a couple of really large parties, right, last year, go in the Superdome and try to survive a crowd where it's wall to wall, shoulder to shoulder, or go outside and listen to really loud bands. This year, there were so many different stations, and that felt like a helpful way to break things up. It did get overwhelming, especially from a music perspective. And they did try to create a nice little quiet space. There was like a cereal snack bar where, you know, they weren't blaring music in there. And it was just all a bunch of snacks made with like marshmallows from Lucky Charms on top of a donut or something. Which was a phenomenal, phenomenal idea. The only problem is as the night went on and people were seeking that quiet space, drunk people love cereal. And so overwhelmed with the most drunk people there. So night rounding up, it was so loud and honestly a little bit obnoxious there. Things were getting spilled. But earlier on, it was a fantastic safe haven for people that just needed to let their eardrums rest or wanted to have a casual conversation.
Josh, did you have a lot of people coming up to you and just like who had... Because you had just been on stage, right? Did you have a ton of people come up to you? I know I hung out with Hisham and he kept having people come up and wanting to get their picture with them. I'm assuming you had a similar experience at that night.
The glitter in the beard, I think, actually distracted. So for the listeners out there that are wondering why I have glitter in my beard, they had glitter marks. And the person running it looked at me and was like, I just want to put glitter all through your beard. So as we have all these UV lights everywhere, my beard was just super shiny and sparkling. And I don't think people really recognize me from on stage. I had a number of people that are like, your beard is so sparkly. Can we take a picture together? I had no one say, oh, you're the Iron Viz guy. Can we take a picture together? And honestly, I was kind of ready for that other level of attention to die down. And I don't know why putting glitter in my beard was a strategy to get under the radar.
Interesting. So, I mean, I guess if you ever did go back into Iron Viz, you could always combine being on stage with a glittery beard, maybe next time. Just do like a double whammy.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I completely missed the cereal bar.
Me too.
Yeah. So we were actually looking, the few of us on this call, were looking for somewhere quiet to sit after like the music. And the only place we could find was the Special Diets restaurant. Clearly wasn't very popular.
Yeah, it was dead.
Which is like, and it was the only place where you could have like a conversation about music blaring.
Yeah, well,
like but I'd agree. Yeah, so the venue for me, I mean, I've got no issue with like large crowds, but it was just a little bit of a maze. Like there was just so much going on. And I think they kind of opened up some of the restaurants and they had different things going on in those. And then you had obviously the pool area and then the area behind the pool. And then there was like a car park. And there's even stuff upstairs. I didn't even go up there. So I couldn't tell you what was going on, but there was stuff going on up there. It was just, if you wanted to find anyone, it was near impossible.
It was tricky. Just on the cereal comment, Josh, I got there really early and I managed to grab like a bowl. I think I had like Lucky Charms, strawberry milkshake in one hand and a glass of red wine in the other. And I was like, living a dream, living a dream. So, they didn't go well together. Yeah. but I think there was also like a kind of counter data night out. Sarah, you mentioned like Chris Love and who else was they had
and,
like a board
and Jackson and Josh Jackson. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a board game night, right? Is that what?
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of cool, and maybe, you know, if we could have a chat with Tableau. Maybe 2020 there's like a maybe more quiet one for certain people, yeah. More facilitated by Tableau could be kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, they had a lot of options. They had we haven't mentioned obviously the drag and drop show as well, which was a completely different thing. So it was like a drag show in a proper theater.
Wow.
That's the first thing I did when I got there. And we went in, they had like cinema snacks out, so you could get popcorn or like chocolate and take that in with you, which was a nice touch. And these were just short, like 15-minute shows, and they repeated them, I think, 3 times. It wasn't exactly what we thought it was going to be like, but it was fun and like entertaining. So.
Nice.
So fun story about that. I saw early on and heard that there was going to be a drag show, and I was like super excited. I wanted to go see this. And I looked forever and ever and ever, and I couldn't find it. And then it was like 2 days later that the pun dawned on me, and at the drag and drop show was the drag show. That pun took 2 full days to sit. And so I completely missed the event because of it. I was like, I don't know what the drag and drop thing is, but I want to do that.
Oh, no. Amazing.
That's funny. So the drag queens are actually taking the mickey out of that, like, you know, drag and drop. Like,
yeah.
What is this?
Oh, man. I wish I could have seen that. That sounds awesome. Okay, so we're at the end of this discussion. It's been really great. We've learned so much about the Tableau conference, the benefits of actually being there in person. There's also exciting things you can kind of see online too if you didn't attend, and also just the future of like Tableau and the communities and the Salesforce acquisition. So yeah, really amazing discussion. I really thank Sarah, Ken, and Josh for your time and knowledge.
Our pleasure.
Thanks for having
us. Thank
you. Yeah, no, thanks very much. And yeah, and that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out the show notes below for everything we've covered today. And if you're new to the podcast, consider subscribing to stay up to date on all the latest episodes. Also visit datasaurus-rex.com/welcome to see all the other data visualization content we have to help you out. Till the next time.